The autumnal equinox, when the lengths of day and night are roughly equivalent, occurred just before 10 o'clock last night. Today is the first full day of autumn. Being a northerner and a September baby, it is my favorite season of the year. Therefore, let us invite in the spirits of the West to accompany us into this season of the year. Earth, in whose body seeds are planted, and from whose body the abundance of our harvests are brought forth. Brother Bear, whose gentle strength we find comfort in. Evening, that special time for sitting on porches or other transitional places in between the business of the day and the healing sleep of night. And fall, perhaps so named because the deciduous trees around us lose their green and show off the colors that have been hiding beneath in the sugars stored over the summer through the alchemy of sunlight and air and water and heat and earth, and they drop to the ground. Fall is a time of transition. We hang in the balance, but it is not about death. Instead, it is a time for reflecting on what has come before so that during the next season, wisdom may gestate and then flower forth in the spring. September 21st of each year is designated as International Day of Peace, or simply Peace Day. Is it just a coincidence that this day is set aside to remind us of the importance of creating peace everywhere that we go, just at the point in the calendar when we enter into the season of reflection? I think not. One young man had a vision of peace in the world, and he took responsibility for making his dream become reality. Last I knew, he was still working on it. But at least the United Nations has designated this day each year as a day when all nations and peoples of the world should lay down their weapons in a worldwide ceasefire. I hope for the day when it becomes a permanent truce, when all of the weapons of mass destruction are turned into tractors, and we all share in the abundance that Earth sets before us on the welcome table. Speaking of welcome tables, you are invited to the International Day of Prayer for Peace Interfaith Celebration at St. Margaret's Episcopal Church in Dale City at 3 o'clock. The theme is the right to peace. I'm participating in the service. Non-perishable food items will be collected for area food pantries. A vegetarian potluck supper follows. According to Kathy Ring, for probably the last 10 years, Unity in the Community has sponsored this interfaith service to observe Peace Day. BREW was among the group of congregations that formed Unity in Community in response to hate-filled literature being left in Prince William County mailboxes. How do you create peace in yourself, in your family, in your workplace, in your communities, in this state, in this nation, in the world? Peace, after all, cannot simply come into being by processing information, reading, or even thinking about it. You must engage in the community, engage in relationship. Take responsibility for yourself and for others. This is what BREW members did when those flyers were stuffed into mailboxes. They came together with other community members. They forged relationships with neighboring faith communities. In Native American sweat lodges, the second round invokes the cardinal direction of West. The overarching theme is about healing our relationships, healing others. It can get mighty hot during this round, as the community prays for the healing and right action of our loved ones and our leaders, especially our leaders who need to be like Brother Bear. bear is grounded in the strength of earth. The totem given to me at the end of my water pourer's training was the one that represented the West, represented my strength in the lodge. At a time when my life was in great flux and transition, I was unemployed, sleeping on a friend's couch, and soon to embark on an extended pilgrimage by car, while simultaneously applying to and visiting seminaries, I reflected anew on lessons learned long ago. It reminded me of Robert Foljambe's essay, "All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten," which was first published in 1986, although it already had a life of its own well before that, and that was without the internet or Facebook or any of those things. Let me refresh your memory of his credo, his "this I believe" statement, with this adaptation of Foljambe's words. Across the course of our lives, we will wrestle with questions of right and wrong, good and bad, truth and lies. Again and again and yet again, we will come around to the place where we came in. Play fair and share everything. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Warm cookies and milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Look. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup? The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. And when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Share everything is first and foremost. Now, I'm sure each of you at some time has heard a sermon on hospitality. Ministers like to pull that one out at least once in their careers. I've heard a few. A worship service I once heard about inner peace included choral music that alluded to being at home when we achieve peace. We call our bodies home. We call this church our home. We call the place we were born our hometown, and refer to where we came from as back home. Probably either you or somebody you nurtured wrote a letter to Santa Claus, or maybe even Jesus or God, and you put your return address on the envelope and made sure it was complete with your full name and your full address, including the street, the city, the state, the country, the hemisphere, the planet, the solar system, galaxy, and just so there would be absolutely no mistake, the correct universe, right? Right. Your home included all of these ever-widening circles of kinship. It encompassed everywhere. Are you with me? Well, when I reflect on this, I see how we are both at home and not at home in all of these places. A paradox. Just as the practice of peace encompasses both inner and outer peace at the same time, we are both host and guest in all aspects and places in our lives. Our responsive reading, "If There Is to Be Peace," by the Chinese philosopher and reputed author of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tse, teaches that the way to peace begins with ourselves, in our own hearts, by cultivating a peaceful nature. I'm sure that some of you have found that it is equally true that we can bring forth compassion for ourselves by first being compassionate towards others. And this is easily demonstrated by using the Tibetan Buddhist practice of Tonglen, as the Dalai Lama does, breathing in all of the suffering of the world as dark, black, smoggy smoke, transforming it in our hearts into pure healing energy and breathing it back out into the world as the bright golden light of love. I led a Tonglen practice with a congregation in Maine in the wake of the shooting in 2008 at the UU Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. In early November, we'll have a worship service here that includes Tonglen practice. The guest house is a favorite poem by the Sufi mystic Rumi. It counsels us to view our individual humanity as if we are the proprietors of a guest house. He wrote, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight, the dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond." To my way of thinking, I believe that we must be both host and guest at the same time. If we approach our living as guests of this house, whichever house or houses you are residing in at the present moment, then we create peace in our lives. I think this was drilled into me the way we make sure our children understand that sharing and caring are paramount. My mother was absolutely certain, and probably yours thought the same, that I would overstay my welcome when I was visiting someone. This assumption did not stop when I became an adult. She, like most parents, was amazed to hear from others about how courteous and well-behaved a child or young person I was. The tendency is to relax our behavior when we are at home, whichever home we're talking about. The result is that we do not follow Fulgham's credo. As he says, living it, well, that's another matter, yes? So here's my recipe for peace. Be a good house guest. What are the qualities of a good house guest? When you are a guest, you need to be on your best behavior all the time, just like Mom said. As Don Miguel Ruiz says in the Four Agreements, always do your best. It's actually the fourth agreement, but he says that if you keep this particular agreement, then the others over time will get easier to keep until you are a master of intent. The first agreement is always be impeccable with your word. As a house guest, if you never sin with your word, you will always be welcome in this home where you are staying temporarily. The fastest way to be shown the door is to be critical of your host. Of course, these agreements apply as well to your hosts, but our focus today is on ourselves as guests at the table. As guests, it is not our place to try and control how things are done in the household, so we must not take anything personally. This is the second agreement. When we take things personally, it is, as Eckhart Tolle explains, an egoic reaction. The ego, however, is not our conscious being. The ego is living in either the past or the future or both, but not in the eternal now. In times of transition, when we inhabit the neutral zone, it is fairly clear and imperative that we recognize this, that everything that is now. I can only be, with a capital B, in the present moment, which is consciousness, is presence. As guests, we are on vacation and savoring the present. The third agreement is to never make assumptions. As guests, we must inform ourselves of the routines, the lay of the land, the rules and structure of the house we are visiting. Ask questions. You do not know a priori the answers when you are living as a guest. And again, always do your best. So how do I practice being a good house guest in the real world? I keep my things tidy and clean up after myself. I bring my hosts a gift. I ask before I use or do something. I share in the upkeep of the home and hearth if my stay is longer than a tea visit. I offer to help with a chore or project. I listen. I appreciate. I embody presence. I express gratitude. I practice radical openness and radical love. And I make sure that I'm mindful about not overstaying my welcome. But you know, if you're a good house guest, you're always welcome. Just to make sure that you understand this as I do, I'm going to spell it out again, that I believe that we need to be both good house guests in all the places we inhabit in the world. If we're good house guests, we will be good stewards of our bodies, our families, our neighborhoods, our churches, our schools, our municipalities, our state, our nation, our planet. You would not leave a half-drunk cup of Dunkin' Donuts Café au lait to grow mold in your own living room, would you? If you just said yes, maybe you might practice being a good house guest in your own home. If you said no, then make sure it gets thrown away properly here, at church, or in the park where you went to reflect on the summer's bounty of lessons from which you will derive wisdom this winter. Of course, today's not a very good day for sitting in the park, so you'll have to do that as you reflect over soup for serve. Remember to give the world the best you have got anyway, because in the final analysis, it is between you and your higher power. And always, always give the glory to the infinite. Would you rise in body or spirit for our hymn number 155, Circle Round for Freedom? We'll sing it through twice. Please join with me in a time of prayer and silent meditation. We hold these sorrows and these joys in our hearts, those that have been spoken in our midst, as well as those that remain carefully held in our hearts. We are concerned about our world, about the way that human beings have a tendency to treat each other unkindly, not trusting their truth. We are also holding in our hearts those who are facing challenges in their health, in the health of their families, in their home situations, in their neighborhoods. We will hold them in our hearts, but we will also go out into the world to make the world a better place, a place where we can see progress in how we treat each other, a progress in honoring the pride in all lives. We hold in our hearts those celebrations that we experience in life, which are in oftentimes tension with the sorrows and the challenges. We pray for health and financial abundance. We celebrate relationships that allow people to grow and change, to mature, to go out on their own. We celebrate families, new babies, new lives, and all that is good in the world. Please join me in a time of silence. And we deliver our prayers with an amen, blessed be, and namaste. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.